Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm J. Marie Schaefer.
Hi, J. Marie. J. Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every single weekend talking to you about all sorts of different things. Today, it might start with St. Paddy's Day parades. It's here.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it, J. Marie.
Yeah.
I didn't even know either.
I know. And
it's snuck up on us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when we're not talking about that, though, it's estate planning and Medicaid planning, elder law, a bunch of very fun. You know, I think we make it funner. I think we make it a better sounding
concept.
More fun.
It is more fun than it would be if it was less fun, I suppose. It's a tough topic, J. Marie. We were talking about this on Friday, John,
yeah.
where to be able to talk about estate planning and Medicaid planning, explain things that are sometimes visual over the radio.
Yeah, it is tough, sure.
It's tough.
Yeah, but you guys do a great job explaining, and I think that's what everybody needs to hear.
Thank you.
So
thanks. Yep.
I was looking for the compliment. We got the compliment.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm here for you.
It is a call-in show. We've been light on the calls in the last couple of weeks, J. Marie. I don't know what it is. But
I think we're so fascinating to listen to.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
It probably is that. It couldn't be anything else, right? It couldn't be like we're really boring or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, the call-in number is 518-476-5900, and we'd love to talk to you about anything that's on your mind. Again, wills, trusts. It could be just a question about, you know, real estate or star exemption. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Power of attorney.
Yeah. So, J. Marie, you didn't come here in your normal car.
She skied here.
No, well,
she skied in from New England.
She could have probably today.
Probably could have. I had to come here in a rental car, which is very sad.
Oh, what happened?
My car died this week.
No.
Well, I hope you had good times with the car. I hope you have good memories.
I have very good memories. I'm very sad. You get attached to a car, you know?
Of course.
Sure you do. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what all the, you know, the buttons and...
I know exactly where everything is. It's just comfortable. I'm gonna miss the car.
And you drive another car, it's like, oh, I don't like this because the buttons aren't where I like them.
Yeah.
I get that way.
And then you get accustomed to the new thing,
right?
The new normal.
That's right.
True. Yeah.
The reason I bring it up, Jamie, isn't to open up these new wounds that you have.
I'm going to start crying again.
please don't. The reason I bring it up is because a car breaking down is 100% foreseeable and possible.
True.
It's not likely that tomorrow, if someone's listening in their car driving around, it is highly unlikely that 5 minutes from now your car breaks down, but it is possible.
Well, it's possible it's going to age out. My car had 175,000 miles on it.
Well,
so that was a new car for you, Jamie.
Right? Yeah, that was a new car. I drive my cars over 200,000, but this one just wasn't going to make it there. So
And that's all right. And guess what? So you have like perhaps a rainy day fund. You obviously have insurance and so on. So you're prepared for something that is foreseeable that may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we hope it doesn't happen, or when it does, it's a little more expected and you're prepared for it and it's not out of the blue.
That's right. I'm sorry if anyone, I was on 787 when it broke down and I had to get really slow and get off.
So. Oh, that's not a great place to break down either. Oh, boy.
Probably flounder the other morning on the traffic report probably mentioned
you. Yeah, probably you.
It probably was me.
Disabled vehicle, side of the road, blocking the right lane. Yeah, there.
A lady waving her arms frantically. You use alternate roads and so on. But I feel like there's an analogy here, J. Marie, to what we do for a living and how we're trying to make sure people understand that there are foreseeable things down the road that they need to prepare for. And sometimes those things that we don't expect to happen tomorrow do happen tomorrow.
That's right.
Or things you don't even expect to happen.
Well, you
don't think about.
Yeah. So we all live in upstate New York. If I said to you that on my way in today, I unfortunately, hit a deer, you'd be like, oh, my God, that's awful. But
what? No.
You could see it happening. We've all, you know, driven on a road and been like, oh, there was a deer there. And
I've done it twice. So.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything happens to Jane Marie in her car.
I know. Now, one time was my husband and I was in the car. One time
you hit your husband or one time your husband hit a deer?
Well, you know.
Oh, boy.
Well, I guess again, the little moral of the story is you need to be prepared, and it doesn't mean that you need to put padding around your car because we're so anxious about a deer that might, that's an overkill, you know, like we don't need to do that, but we just need to understand that things sometimes break down, bodies break down, minds break down, and
we're all going to age.
Right.
Right.
And I'd say if we could take the analogy one step further, if Jane Marie, the possibility of you needing a car was something you had to plan for 5 years ahead of time, right? You would be thinking about things 100,000 miles ago.
That's right.
About what you'd need to do for your car when it hit 170 or when it hit 200,000 miles. And, you know, public service announcement to our clients and our listeners, you really do need to prepare for these things, because the only thing that's certain is that, you know, we age a little bit every day, and over an extended period of time, new cars become old cars.
That's
and
right.
You need to switch them out.
Are you saying I'm becoming an old car?
I didn't say anything like that.
Oh.
No.
But I said your car, Jane Marie. So, listen, Jane Marie, I have three topics here. I'm not sure what they all mean. I kind of scribbled them down on the way over. And it's, we could do 1, 2, 3, or I could actually say to you what they are, and you could choose your adventure here. What would you like to do?
I'll pick number two.
Number two. So this, I wrote down ex-spouse and ex-in-laws.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Now, Jane Marie knows this. John, you may not know this.
What?
When you get divorced, if you get divorced,
right?
Your divorce agreement will say certain things about what you are getting, what you're waiving your right to, et cetera, right? So you're going to get this car. I'm going to waive my rights to that car. You're going to get, I'm going to keep my retirement. You're going to waive my rights. You're going to get a little piece of it and what have you.
Right. Right. Okay.
One of the things you waive in a divorce is you waive in inheritance rights from your now former spouse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
Wow.
So it may be that someone forgets to update the will, because usually when you're married, if you have a will, it's everything to spouse. And when you become divorced, if you just didn't get around to changing that will, that provision in the will that leaves things to your spouse is actually null and void because of what the divorce agreement said. And there's a statute in New York that talks about inheritance rights upon a divorce. So far, so good. Makes sense.
Yeah.
A little safety blanket.
Yeah, it does. Right. Yeah.
Jamer, you know that principle does not extend to your life insurance beneficiary designations or other beneficiary designations outside of your will. So every now and then, we'll have a client who passes where, unfortunately, one of their assets is supposed to go to an ex-spouse. So that's a thing.
I can imagine. It's a thing.
I have a case like that going on right now.
You do? I have no idea. Tell us.
Yes.
Please.
So the father died, and his life insurance, everything else had been changed except for a MetLife insurance policy that was payable to the ex-spouse. And we've been writing to MetLife, so sending them a divorce decree, all this stuff. But they're like, no, we're going to pay it to her.
Well, so that's an instance where the divorce agreement may say they're waiving rights. But the life insurance company may say, that's great that you have this agreement. But our policy is that we're leaving things to a beneficiary.
Yeah, and that's what they have to do, right?
They may have to, right? It's technically a contractual thing, and hopefully Jane Marie's going to be able to convince them otherwise.
Right.
Let's take it just one more step further, which is, I'm somebody's son-in-law. Jane Marie, you're someone's daughter-in-law. We're wonderful people. We're great in-laws, right?
Yes.
It's not uncommon that a client of ours will name a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law as a, you know, to hold a prominent role in their estate plan. Maybe their backup agent, or maybe their, you know, backup executor or something like that. I had a client where their son-in-law was their trustee on their Medicaid trust.
I must have liked him.
Yeah, they liked him. Nice guy, daughter, not great with money, and they think that this is another topic, that, you know, to be a good trustee, you need to be a financial whiz and you need to be a expert on, on investing. No, you don't.
Which,
right?
You don't have to be, but that's okay.
So whatever, they pick their son-in-law. So couple comes in, normal get together, wife is not doing so hot, getting older. And he said, just take a look at these things. And I think we need to update. The power of attorney is like the 3-page version, Jamery. So it's like 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So instead of the 14-page version it is now. And I looked at, you know, I said, okay, do we still like this person? And, yeah, that's my daughter. She's my backup healthcare. Okay. Went through the whole thing. And I said, who's Steven? Mm-hmm. Oh, Steven's my son-in-law, or my ex-son-in-law. I said, ex-son-in-law. I said, well, all right. Well, he's your trustee right now. You realize that, right? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you created this trust, you made actually your daughter and your son trustee. And the fact they got divorced and all those things they waived into, he didn't waive in the right to be your trustee. You had nothing to do with the divorce.
Nothing to do.
Right, right.
And I found it really interesting because at the same week, another client on purpose named an ex-spouse to be backup on everything.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good relationship with their ex-spouse.
Oh, okay. So it
it can go either way.
I've seen that happen sometimes.
As long as it's part of your plan.
Wow. I've seen people have a great relationship with their ex-son-in-law or daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
So it depends on the situation, but you have to review it. That's something they probably totally forgot about when their daughter got divorced.
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of times people will, you know, will say, no, you shouldn't have your son-in-law be a trustee. Keep it with the blood. Mm. But that's not always a good idea.
No, why not?
Blood could be a bunch of, you know.
Mm-hmm. They may not be good with money.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Sometimes the son-in-law, the daughter-in-law is the best person for the job. All we're saying here is it's one of those add to the list of things to check up on. If there's a divorce in the family. Mm-hmm. Why don't, you know, you mom and dad, why don't you check out and make sure that son-in-law isn't part of your plan still? Or if he is or she is, well, that's on purpose. Maybe we should update and reaffirm that piece of the pie.
And it's better to find that out while mom and dad are still alive rather than after one of them is gone, perhaps.
Well, so in our fact pattern here, Jamery, if, you know, things are going downhill for mom, a couple years from now, it's not crazy to think that mom and dad may not be doing so hot, both of them. Perhaps they don't have the right to change their trustee anymore. In this case, with our trust, they could amend it immediately to get rid of this guy. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Right, but there could be a point in time where they don't have capacity to do that.
Now, they told me this. We're talking, on, you know, we're just keeping it between us here, but they didn't like him anyway, ever.
Oh.
That's what they said.
Oh, I think they're just on their daughter's side now. They probably liked him when she was married to him.
So you know what direction to take now, pretty much, right?
Yeah. So it's a simple amendment, but it just was funny because at the same time, you know, someone says, yeah, I'm going to have, you know, Joseph be my backup power of attorney. I say, oh, who's Joseph? It's my ex-spouse. I say, your ex-spouse? Oh. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. It's just every day is different.
That's right. That's why you got to do your 5-year review.
Absolutely. We got 1 minute before the break. Again, somehow, it's the fastest break. It sneaks up on us. It's very quick.
That's right. 45 seconds to halftime.
That's right.
You want to call it that? Halftime, like a football game or something.
So, Jamery, your other two topics, you could, you know, you're going to tell us what we're talking about in the second half here. It's the expression, what about my will?
Mm-hmm.
Or all things being equal. I'll leave you to think about that. We're going to get to our break here. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And my name's Jane Marie Schaefer.
And it is a call-in show, Jane Marie. No calls in the
Not
first.
Yet.
Well,
no.
You know, it's tough because the first half is literally 8 minutes somehow.
So. Yeah, pretty much. But 476-5900.
That's the number.
Area code 518, by the way.
In the absence of those calls, Jane Marie, you selected all things being equal as the topic you're going to talk about or you want to talk about. So here's another home care, long-term care pattern. This is now, last week we talked about one where it was a little aggravating because mom's not coming around to the idea of help, right? This is totally different. This is mom is a widow. Mom is mentally sharp as a tack. One of the sharpest 92-year-olds I've ever met in my life. Unbelievable. A pleasure to speak to.
Right.
And she came in with five of her seven kids. And the whole idea, guys, was how can we keep mom at home? And we found an assisted living that, you know, was kind of pricey. This is down in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're ready to move her. And I kind of looked at deep into mom's eyes and I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I just want to stay home.
Right.
And it broke my heart, you know, because you know what she wants very clearly.
Yeah.
And she had a situation where there was a fall and then some rehab about 5-6 months ago. And because she is so sharp mentally,
yeah, that's
cognitively,
what makes it tough.
She was in living hell while she was in rehab because she was experiencing everything.
Sometimes
I feel like when you're in La La Land, maybe that's the way it's supposed
but
to be.
But she was well aware.
Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
So she's like, I know I never want to be in that situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She likes her house.
I'm going to be Kim for a moment.
Yeah.
Is it her house accessible? Is there more than one story?
It is not more than one story.
Okay.
It is completely doable. And I'll say that this is a happy story at the end.
Okay.
But it wasn't a happy story earlier in the process. So we're talking and, you know, she wants to be home. Sounds great. The kids are in support of it, but they're looking at each other like, you know, and I'm like looking like, what don't I know?
Right.
There's something that everyone knows that I don't know. We wrap up the meeting. We're talking about the cost of assisted living. It was going to be about $8,000 or $9,000. It was expensive.
Okay. Expensive. Yeah.
And we're talking about home care, and that was also going to be expensive. And because she was cognitively good and just physically not good, we know she's not going to get a ton of hours.
She won't qualify for a lot. Right.
So I'm running the math in my head, and then, you know, time to end the meeting. They're going to mull some things over. Mom tries to get up, and it takes about 15 minutes for mom to get up and get out of the office.
Right.
And it's like, aha, this is why this is such a big deal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And hold on, Anthony and Gildon, just give me a minute here. So what are we going to do? We have this woman who, she's such a sweet woman. She wants to stay at home. The family's in support of it. But, man, she is a fall waiting to happen. She she can barely get up.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
The activities of daily living ain't happening.
Yeah, she's going to need help. And I know how she feels and then how the other people feel. I mean,
so
gotta do something.
We're going to get back to that in a second. We have Anthony and Gildon. Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I hope that you're well, too.
We're good. What's going on?
I have a question about the gift tax exemption for this year.
Yes. Do you want to know how much it is?
For a single person.
Yeah. It's $17,000 per person.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That's it?
Yep.
All right, Anthony.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks.
That was easy.
Easy. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get back to mom then. All things being equal, right? Where are we going with this? So she wants to stay at home. She can't, you know, we're going to go through her house going to go through her savings to pay for assisted living because it's so high of a cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another factor, she bought her house for, you know, three nickels 70 years ago, 60 years ago. So now it's worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's going to be some capital gains based on her back pattern. So she's going to have to sell her house, then to, you know, get hit with taxes, then to use the money to pay for a place she doesn't want to be.
Right.
I ended up meeting last week with one of her daughters and her daughter's husband. They had looked at the fact pattern and said, we don't want to be in that situation. We're going to come see you, Dave. We're going to talk about a trust for us, for our kids and everything. We spent the entire consult talking about mom. Because I said, guys, I can't shake it. I can't get her eyes out of my eyes.
Oh, boy.
Right? And I'm like, she wants to stay at home. Are you sure there's no way? So I called Kim right there on the spot.
Got Kim on the line. Yeah, it's great.
And trying to figure it out. And we got into the conversation of live-ins, people who could live at the house. We talked about how many hours Kim can foresee Medicaid approving, and maybe it goes up over time. And we're poking around. Are you sure mom's good mentally? Are you sure? Because we're just trying to find a way to increase the hours. But when we did the math, the cost of mom staying at home was pretty close to the cost of her being in assisted living.
Okay, which is still a lot of money.
Still a lot of money.
A lot of money, but it's
Where she wants to be.
But all things being equal, let's keep that woman at home.
Yes.
Right. If it's going to be the same cost,
absolutely.
Let her stay home, right?
Yep. Yeah. And Kim texted me last night. She went down to see mom's house. She met a lot of the children.
Right.
And she texted me that it looks like they're going to go forward with the home care option.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm just on cloud nine.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Medicaid, I think, will have a limited role in it. But it's the idea that we have a client who wanted to stay at home. And sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
And maybe 6 months from now, we're like, yeah, it didn't work. But at least every effort was made.
Yes.
And I feel so fantastic about
it. Yes.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's great.
It's great.
It was awesome. So all things being equal, you're going to want to stay at home. All things being equal, we're going to want to try to save money. All things being equal, you know, is a nice expression. All things are not always equal. We got to the point in this fact pattern, the way the numbers shook out, that all things were equal. And then, you know, we were able to, it sounds like, look this woman in the eye and say, I think you're going to be able to stay home. It's going to stink, Jamie. It's going to be awful. She could barely move.
That's right.
But she was going to barely move in the assisted living.
Right. At least she should be home in her surroundings. Yeah, I mean, I would say
she's familiar with and she knows her way around. And
exactly.
Yeah,
all things being equal, most people want to stay at home.
Oh, most people.
I'd say it's, but there are a handful of cases where someone is lonely at home, right?
Yeah.
And they want to be social. So in that case, an assisted living may be better for them.
Right. And, you know, I'd say one of the things that really helps in this fact pattern is seven local children.
Right. So she's not lonely. Right.
Yeah. People who could stop in, people who could give a spell to that caregiver.
Right.
Right. You know, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want everyone missing work because, you know, sometimes there are certain realities. Again, all things are not always equal. But here it sounds like it may work out. So good job, Kim, out there. And we're very, very happy for this young 92-year-old.
Yeah,
I used Kim's name in the beginning. I knew she was coming
in. Yeah, no, she was in. So the last topic, real quick here, is what about my will?
Okay, what about your will?
Well, what about my will? So you hear this all the time, Jamie. You do a trust signing for someone. You're doing their Medicaid trust, putting the house in the trust. You're talking about what assets they may want to put in the trust. You're saying retirement stays out. Here's your healthcare proxy, your power of attorney. And the client says to you, well, what about my will? What happens to my will? What goes in my will? Well, who's my executor? So what about their will?
You know how many times I've explained this recently, that we have a trust, you know, we're probably don't need your will. It's almost irrelevant, but we're still going to sign it, of course.
Yeah.
And why is it irrelevant? Because the trust replaces your will. That's what disposes of your house and everything you put into the trust. And your bank account or whatever you keep out, I'm going to recommend it's joint or you put a beneficiary on it.
If your will goes through probate, when you do a trust with Jay Marie or myself or Harry or whoever, right? If there's a probate, it's because something awful happened and we're going to sue the pants off of whoever caused that awful thing. Or because something fell through the cracks that you did not know about.
Right.
And AKA MetLife stock.
MetLife stock, like that. Absolutely. That's always the one.
But absent that, you know, your will is not, when you do a trust, the kind of will you do is referred to as a pour over will. Okay. Because it says, I give everything to my trust. It pours into your trust. Right. But your will is only in charge of assets that are owned by you and just you. And where there is no beneficiary to that money. So if the house, which is the big thing, the big illiquid thing is in the trust, and the bank accounts have your kids' names on it or TOD, and some small finances have beneficiaries, your retirement has a beneficiary, what goes through your will? What about my will? Well, what about your will? You're not doing a will because you may pass. You're doing because who knows how it's all going to go down.
All right. And the question is, does my will have to go to probate? I'm like, not if there's nothing to probate. Right. So I said, we have this will. It's wonderful. It's probably just going to sit in your file. We're probably not going to use it.
And that's great news. It just confuses people, Jamie, because their entire life, they're hearing you have to have a will, which you, you should. Everyone should have a will. And it's really important who you pick to be your executor. But that's the executor is just someone who does what the will says. If we don't need the will, well, then the executor wasn't really all that important, was
it? Right. So many conversations are, well, you probably don't need the will, but what if you win Powerball, right? Or what if someone leaves you a lot of money?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if the ticket was in your pocket and, you know, whatever, I suppose then we're going to probate your will.
That's right.
And that's all right. And at least we know everything goes to your trust, and then everything in turn goes to whatever your estate plan was, because your your trust is kind of like a will. Like, there, you know, there's a whole 3-4 pages of your trust that says who gets your money, how and when and why and all that.
That's right.
So we effectively get rid of the will, but we still do it just in case.
Right. Because of pesky things like MetLife stock that we see all the time. People have accounts that they forget about, right? Yeah. They may, bonds is something else they have that they forget about.
You know, when people come in, sometimes they have like, you know, a large pile of paper and, you know, all sorts of folders for their different accounts. And after we meet with them, I say, all right, I just need a copy of your deed and we're all good. And they say, you mean you don't want any of this stuff? You mean I prepared all this stuff for nothing? No, you never prepared it for nothing.
Right.
The whole point was for you to know what you own and how you own it.
Right.
So if something is going to go through probate accidentally, I thought I had a beneficiary on that. Well, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a run. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago where someone passed away with a retirement with no beneficiary. So that's going to go based on their will.
That's right. Right. It's a good exercise to put all that financial information together. And I also tell them, well, this is a good outline to leave for your kids.
Now, Jamie, the reason why this came up wasn't because a client asked me what about my will. It's because I did a presentation in front of financial advisors and accountants and insurance guys. We're talking about trusts and wills versus trust. I did the wills versus trust.
Right.
And at the end of the thing, someone came up to me and said, so wait a minute, what happens to my will? And this was a financial advisor that said it. So I was like, oh my God, you know, a lot of people don't realize.
Right.
It's counterintuitive. You got to have a will, but we don't want to use it. We're doing a trust, but we're still doing a will. Why are we doing a will?
Right. So we're doing something that we expect to never use.
Exactly right. And we do it just in case. Just like having car insurance, or just like having that rainy day fund in case our car breaks down on 787, John. Because you never know.
you never know.
And honestly, though, it's just a form of insurance. Your estate planning is a form of insurance. Just like insurance is a form of insurance.
That's right.
Funny but true.
So, green beers today?
Yeah, I guess so. With the St. Patrick's Day Parade in downtown Albany starts at 2 at Central and Quail.
Nothing
and,
says...
Don't forget, turn the clocks ahead.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to spring forward 1 hour or so before you go to bed tonight.
So that means we lose an hour of sleep.
I guess so, but it's a Sunday. It doesn't matter.
I'm more excited about what it means when it's like 6:30 p.m. and it's still bright
still
out.
Light. It's still light out. Yeah, that's going
to
be really
you can
nice.
Look forward to that. Absolutely, yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.